Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Nation tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20 only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. This past week, the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Lake Wheeler created some interesting results with EQ angler Adam Rasmussen, a guide from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, taking home over $52,000 in winnings, besting reigning Elite Series Progressive Angler of the Year Brandon Polinick by just 7 ounces. Now, Polinick was coming off a second-place finish at Lay Lake, which he lost on a dead fish penalty. Rasmussen is coming up later on in our Rapala winner's circle. Also on today's show is Clay Dyer, who I fished with on day two at the Open at Wheeler. Now, I've known Clay for years. I've had him on this and other shows, plus hosted a huge charity tournament weigh-in with Clay, but I had never been in the boat with him. And now I have, and we'll tell you that story in a bit. But up first, my day one partner at Wheeler, Opens EQ Pro Jason Lambert. I was excited to be paired with Jason Lambert because he's a certified Tennessee River hammer. And also, you know, he has had great success on Wheeler. Now, Lambert has won nearly $1 million with FLW and MLF and is looking to make the move to the elites. Now, things didn't fall his way last week, but it's obvious that Lambert is an elite-level pro who's simply having a tough season. But he joins us now on the VMC Redline Hook. Jason, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
Oh, fantastic. I know we were talking about this when we were on the water. I know I had you on a previous iteration of the show when it was Southern Bass Radio back in 2018, when you won on the on Kentucky Lake with a record margin, I think 26 or 27 pounds, some crazy margin with a 100-pound plus deal there. But it's the first time we've had you on Bassmaster Radio, and I know it didn't go our way when we were out there on day one, but I really enjoyed the day. I think we had a good time at least. If we were going to catch fish, I think at least we had a decent time.
Well, you know, I enjoy, a lot of guys complain and fuss about the tow angler setup, and, you know, especially for some of us guys that have been fishing without tow anglers for many, many years, it's you get back into the routine of it. But, you know, I tell people all the time, man, some of my best friends are guys that I met in the back of the boat with me. I mean, matter of fact, one of my best friends, Mr. Chris Williams, is dreaming as a tow angler back in 2018. So, yeah, it's always about, you know, fishing. People get too carried away about the competition of fishing sometimes, and it don't always go your way. And if you can't have a good time, then why even go do it in the first place?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. There's no doubt about it. And the lake was finicky. I mean, you know, if you figured at 55 pounds would win it, you know, that's 16, 17 pounds a day, 18 pounds a day. That is not a bad number, but it was tough. The weights went down quickly. It seemed like there were guys who caught them, very, very few, you know, that really did well. And then, you know, 220 anglers in that deal on the pro side, and those numbers went down quickly, it seemed like.
Well, the whole entire Tennessee River chain is just way, way behind. And it's not just the Tennessee River chain. It seems like it's everything in the whole Southeast. We just had a weird spring. And, you know, obviously I live at Pickwick and know this whole chain pretty well. And Pickwick's the same way. I mean, it's just the whole entire system is just way far behind. There's still shad spawning. There's brim, you know, brim beds everywhere. And the fish just haven't made that migration offshore, you know. And I went into that event with the full mindset that they were going to make it. And, you see them every day just trying to find them, and there's lots of white bass out. But the largemouth just hadn't made it for whatever reason. And, you know, 18 pounds a day is a, you know, that's a solid catch. But, you know, like you said, I mean, and all truth about it for the Tennessee River, that's not, you know, that's not mind-boggling. It's not eye-opening. It's kind of eye-opening the other way. It should have been a lot better. The lake's just not fishing that great right now.
You've had tremendous success in your career on Wheeler on every different level, you know, of tournaments. But it seemed like there were three main things that were going on. It was shell beds and humps that were up on the flats. Then there was the ledges, you know, where there's stumps and there's grass back in Wheeler for the first time in a long, long time. The yield grass and so on has been coming in there. And then some guys caught them near shore. They would find little grass beds near shore with a shad spawn going on, and they'd catch fish after fish after fish. But it would be a very small area, you know, an area the size of a boat or so, and they would be all ganged up in there. So it was kind of weird that there were those three different things going on out there.
Well, it was a different event. And, you know, unfortunately, it was one of those events where it seemed like every fish in the entire lake was on three or four places as well.
I mean, yeah.
those Decatur Flats have always been, you know, famous for the shell bars. And, you've seen it. I mean, all the guys in the event seen it. I mean, you'd go by one of those popular areas, and they'd be 20 boats sitting on, you know, one deal throwing at each other. And there was some shad spawn. I mean, Hackney, he posted a video one day of practice of, you know, of a giant shad spawn up on some bushes. But it was just an odd event. And, you know, Wheeler is coming back. I mean, there hasn't been any grass in that place since the mid-90s. And there's a lot of milfoil, or I guess it's actually hydrilla and coontail, but mostly eelgrass. And it's on the flats, but it's also all the way down that whole entire lake on that, you know, be the south shore. All those pockets are full of grass. So give that place a couple of years, and it's going to be a different fishery for sure.
Jason Lambert with us here. Now, you're known to be a great, great ledge fisherman. Just talk about, you know, back in the day, you were doing all of this with side imaging. You would find all of these great spots and so on, and places that you could exploit along the Tennessee River system. Now, you know, the forward-facing sonar has become a big, big deal. Obviously, there's 360 on these boats and that type of sonar. Just talk about how the ledge fishing has changed and whether or not the fish themselves have scattered a little bit, because there's been so much activity on the ledges in the last probably 8 to 10 years now.
Well, you know, the live scope and forward-facing sonar and all that stuff has changed the entire game of bass fishing. I mean, you know, probably as much, it's been as big a factor, if not more of a factor, even than back, you know, like Navionics maps back in the day when they first came out. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the actual true Tennessee River ledge fishing, it is a tool, but it's not a must-have. You know, still, obviously, with offshore stuff, you're going to find them with side scan and down scan and, you know, the imaging part of it, and locate those schools that way. You know, as far as offshore ledge fishing goes itself, you know, basically about the only thing you would use a forward-facing sonar for is, you know, if you're catching a school of fish and they bust up or you think they've left or whatever, you can relocate a pod of them here and there with it. But, you know, as far as just the overall scope of fishing, the way it's changed it so much, it's just like we were talking earlier about Clark Winlett making top 10 there at Wheeler. And he was doing something that's, you know, it's pretty famous on the Tennessee River, and it's fishing stumps, because a lot of those fish were still spawning. And, you know, back in the day, we did it just, you know, by memory of where those stumps were, or finding them on your, you know, imaging products. But now you can literally just get back there like Clark and some of those guys are doing. I mean, Trevor McKinney, buddy of mine, he's doing the same thing. And just troll around and find those stumps 80, 90 feet out and pitch a bait to them with those fish spawning on them. It's just changed the whole complexity of fishing. And, you know, I've been real resistant to just turn into a forward facing sonar fisherman. I've felt like I've been pretty good at it for a long time, but it's, you know, I always joke with guys that fuss about it. And I mean, just technology in itself has came so far. Our reels are better, our rods are better, our lines are better, our boats are better. I mean, everything's better than it was 10, 12 years ago. But, you know, I always joke and say, hey, guys, I mean, you either get on board or you're going to get left behind, because when you think about it, the rotary dial phone was a big deal back in the day, too. So, I mean, everything changes, and you either got to get good with it or these guys will kick your teeth in, because there's people that spend hours and hours and hours and hours just looking at that thing, and they know it so well. And I'll be the first to admit I've been resistant to spend that much time with it. But, you know, moving forward, you got no choice. You're going to have to do it and get more efficient with it.
Jason, when I started tournament fishing in the 80s, We had the flashers that we had to just, that was it. You had the flasher on the front of the boat, and it would be like, okay, if it's red, that's hard bottom. And if it's green, now it's soft bottom. And then there's the right. Yellow. And that was it. And you would find dips, you know, based on the flasher. All of a sudden your flasher would show a deep spot, you know, oh, there's a hole right there. Let me fish this spot. So yeah, the technology has changed unbelievably. Well, you got a lot of opportunities still yet to make the Bassmaster Classic. 5 more opens to go. It was really a pleasure to share the boat with you. And it was just obvious to me that you are an elite level stick. You just have to get those better results, and I'm sure you will at some particular point in time. Jason, I appreciate you so much. Good luck the rest of the season.
All right, guys. I'll see you around.
All right, thank you. That's Jason Lambert. I'm telling you, this guy, he's going to make it. If it's not this year, he'll make it at some particular point in time. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Clay Dyer is up next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. This segment of the show brought to you by Lake Hartwell and the fine folks at visitanderson.com. Neil Paul and his gang, they just make everyone feel so welcome. They have got a facility that is second to none out there with Green Pond Landing. And Anderson itself is the kind of place where you go to, and yeah, you go there for Lake Hartwell, but you want to just visit there. We've been there at Christmas time. We've been there at all different seasons, and it's just a tremendous town to go and hang out in Anderson. And I always take my wife with me over there, and she always loves shopping Anderson. It's just a tremendous place. Visit Anderson.com. Check it out. If it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. All right, this past week at the Open at Wheeler, at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Lake Wheeler, I drew Clay Dyer in the second day of the tournament, and I had had a miserable first day. I was all banged up, and there was some rough weather out there, and I just was feeling lousy. I didn't catch anything, which means the second day you're not fishing for a check in the most cases. And I drew Clay. Now, I've known Clay for, I don't know, 10 years or so, and he's been on numerous shows that I host. But the one thing, we've shared a stage for weigh-ins, but the one thing that I never did was get in a boat with Clay. And I got to be honest with you, I was a little trepidatious about getting in the boat with Clay, and because I didn't know how to handle the boat. But it turns out he's a master, and he joins us now on the show. Clay, welcome back. How are you, man?
Hey, Tom, man. I'm doing great. How about yourself, buddy?
That's fantastic. You've been over to Hartwell, haven't you? You've been over to Anderson. I mean, it's spectacular over there. And Neil Paul and that whole crew, they just do such a great job.
Oh, they absolutely do, man. I had the pleasure of meeting Neil. I'd actually heard about it, you know, through the Bassmasters Classic when we had worked exhibit shows. And then I met Neil about 2 years ago in person at a ministry event I did over there. And you know, we just hit it off and became friends. And I tell you, man, it's, you know, that, like you said, man, that whole area over there is kind of like a little slice of heaven on earth. And yeah. the beautiful lake and everything is beautiful, and fish is awesome. So it's a great place.
Yeah, no, it is a great place. There's no doubt about it. And we had a great time on day two at the Bassmaster Open, even though we didn't catch any fish. Well, I take that back. You caught a shorty, and I don't think I caught anything, to be honest with you. It was one of those days, but it was a day that really wasn't about the fishing. It was about an opportunity for us to spend a day together in the boat. And I told you the story, and then I'll tell it to our listeners. I had been banged up the day before, was sore, And I was, you know, hemming and hawing about whether or not I left the hotel and went back to Winchester, which is about an hour and a half from Ingalls Harbor. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, honestly, and thinking to myself, if I don't go have an opportunity to spend a day on the water with Clay, I'm a coward. That's what I am. I mean, if that's the case, I need to have my head examined. So, 3:30, 4 in the morning, off I go to meet up with you. And we had an amazing time.
You know, Tom, we did. And it's as funny, as competitive as we all get in this sport we all love and fishing the tours and whatnot. You know, sometimes you almost, we all can let things kind of get out of perspective. And sometimes, you know, it's as much about the fellowship and the camaraderie. I mean, you know, we're going to bust our tail and try to catch them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other day, Lord knows, it's like I told you, I was a terrible guide for you the other day. I had areas I knew some fish were in, and I was trying to adjust to catch them. And sometimes, like Gerald Swindle says, you know, sometimes you don't matter what you do, you just ain't gonna catch them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You mentioned the camaraderie. One of the things that struck me immediately, and I wrote about this article that'll appear somewhere in one of the Bass publications at some point, but I was struck by the camaraderie in the basin there. Ingalls Harbor is very tight in the basin. It's a beautiful facility, but when you're all in the basin and there's 200 boats, it's very tight. But, man, it was fun just listening to all the guys coming over to you and then you shouting encouragement to them and then some guys busting your chops and you telling them, come get some if you want some. I mean, it was just so much fun to see love. I mean, that's the only word you could say, but it was an outpouring of love coming out of your boat and coming out of other boats towards you. And that must be something that's really special.
Tom, it really is. You know, in the world we live in today, there's way too much negativity and you know, all those type of bad things. And part of my purpose is trying to shine love and shine some, you know, good natured fun into this world and, you know, show people through faith how you can do that. And it, you know, it's really, I really enjoyed, you know, getting out there like that and cutting up and carrying on, you know, with the guys and, you know, the ones that you can encourage by just having a little fun. And you got the other ones, you know, that select few of them that, you know, the ones that really know me that know that I'm bad about cracking jokes about myself or that I'm bad about being sarcastic. And, you know, when, I love it when they try to bust my chops like that, you know, cause I throw it right back at them. And it's funny because some people that don't know the relationship, you know, and the friendships that I have with these people, they'll kind of look at us from a distance like, yeah. I can't believe that guy's talking to Mr. Dyer like that.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm over there rolling laughing, you know.
Yeah, and you got that big old skeeter up on plane in some rough water to head down to our spot and in the Elk River, which was some 30 minutes away, really, and handled the boat expertly. And it was funny because my oldest son, who was my fishing partner for, you know, team tournaments in the Bass Nation and in the state of Tennessee, I had texted him and I said, I'm fishing with Clay Dyer and we're in his skeeter. And he's like, how does he drive the boat? You know? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not looking over there. I told him, I said, I don't even want to look. And you're waving to people and everything else. But really, it goes to adaptivity in the fact that you're able to determine how you're going to drive that boat and you handle that boat and you're moving in and out of buoys and taking it up in there. And we went into Elk River. People know the Elk River is loaded with a lot of timber and things like that, standing timber and loose timber. And you expertly handle that boat around that stuff. And, you know, I never had a concern. I'll be honest with you. I never had a concern 5 minutes after we took off. It's really amazing what you can do with the boat.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. You know, a lot of it comes down to experience. You know, when you're sometimes the best way to learn is get out there in it, you know, and take your time and be slow and learn. And I did that years ago. And, you know, I grew up cutting my teeth on the Tennessee River. So, you know, I'm very familiar with how rough the Tennessee River can get and, you know, how to navigate it and get around on it. And, you know, very thankful to have a lot of experience and knowing how to run in certain places that, you know, the ordinary Joe probably wouldn't need to. And I know where a lot of the obstacles and the hazards are at, you know, so it makes it a lot easier. But it's, you know, it's funny if you say that because I remember a few years ago when I came back to Skeeter for my career, the very first BFL tournament I fished, just kind of you know, have a tournament under my belt for that year. I fished on Tim's Ford, which you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
And we drew out, I forget what boat number, it was in the 20s, but there was like seven boats ahead of me. And I drew out with this gentleman, and I think I told you the story when we were fishing, but he was an ex-Marine, you know, with PTSD. And I told him, I said, look, dude, I said, if you don't feel comfortable or start feeling uneasy, just let me know. And so I noticed all the way down the river, you know, he never did do anything. And knowing Tim's like I've learned it, and, you know, being the competitor I am, trying to get to a spot as quickly, as safely as I can, you know, I caught him fast about everything in front of me. And so we got down there that morning, and I noticed my co-angler was being very quiet. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, crap, I've done scared the daylights out of him. And so I asked him, I said, man, are you okay? And he looked up, and you know, it meant a lot to me for that man to have been through what he's been through. And he looked at me, and he said, well, Mr. Dyer, he said, you know, of everything somebody might say about you, one thing they can't say is you don't know how to drive a boat.
Yeah.
He said, you, for a half hour, man, you can handle one like a pro. And but, you know, it still makes me feel great to know that people can see that I'm trying to, you know, not trying to not beat them up, you know. And but it's a testament as much to my driving. It's a testament, you know, to the holes and all the equipment, you know, we have today and the technology we have.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Clay Dyer with us here for another minute or so. And, you know, and the other thing is, too, fishing style, you would think, you know, some people would think that, well, maybe because of the fact that he's casting with the rod under his chin, everybody's seen the videos and so on, that you would just want to be an open water guy. But that wasn't my experience with you. You like target fishing, and you're in there skipping underneath tree limbs and throwing to blowdowns and things like that. And, you know, at least that day, you know, you're a target fisherman. So, yeah, you've perfected that ability to be very precise with your casting.
Yes, sir. You know, I try to be a versatile fisherman above all, but just like that event, you know, I had tried all the different things, you know, on the shell beds and all that. And for whatever reason, it wasn't happening like I thought it needed to happen. And knowing what the wind can do and all that, you know, up there, I chose to have those backup areas. It just so happens that's where I truly feel like one of my big strengths is, you know, a shallow water target fishing with crankbait, topwaters, you know, pitching plastics and jigs. And that's the way I grew up fishing, and that's the way I love, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and you do a great job with it for sure. Clay had a limit on day one. It was meat. It screwed him up day two when we didn't catch any fish. I mean, he was on the fish day one. All right, Clay, I appreciate you so much. Good luck the rest of the season. I will see you somewhere down the road, I'm sure.
Yes, sir, Tom. Thank you for having me on. And anyway, I can help you, buddy, you let me know.
All right, man.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you. That's Clay Dyer. Just a great, great, great day with him. All right, let's get a break in here. We will come back and do a little bit of rabble on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, well, it's time for the Rapala Winter Circle with a Rapala Pro. I mean, a guide from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. He had never seen Wheeler before, and all he did was move in there, figure it out in a couple of days of practice, and then go out and win the tournament with 54 pounds and 15 ounces. So joining us now in the Rapala Winter Circle, Rapala Pro, Adam Rasmussen. Adam, welcome to the show. Congratulations on the win.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for having me on the show. Super pumped to do this.
Well, I appreciate you joining us and what you did there. I live fairly close to Wheeler and have struggled there for years. Talk about how you figured it out in such a short period of time to where you were able to exploit the flats and find the right sweet spot to come up with this 54 pounds, almost 55 pounds of fish.
Yeah, I guess, like, as anywhere I go, like, I have never gone back to a lake two times in a row. I'm fairly new to these opens and new to southern fishing. And so I rely a lot on my, you know, Humminbird Lake Master VX maps and that, like, so like in the mornings I would catch them on a shad spawn deal on shell bars. Well, like on my Lake Master cards, it's plain as day where they all are. You can see all the little high spots and bumps on those flats. and I just go through and I, you know, I didn't even really fish them during practice. I just idled around and marked all the shell beds and hard spots. And if you found ones around grass, those were definitely key to holding all the shad. So that's kind of how I caught them in the mornings. And then when they're pulling water midday, then I could go out and fish some ledges. And there again, like, I had a terrible practice. I caught, I think, a 3-3-2 is maybe the biggest one I caught all week, and I did not catch very many. But I spent a lot of time graphing and looking for the places that I felt like they were going to show up to. It was extremely warm down there. It was, I don't know, like up around 90 every day for a high, and the water temps were as warm as 87 degrees.
Wow.
So, like, you know those fish are going to their summertime locations, and they showed up the day of the tournament, so...
Yeah, and they showed up big for you. There's no doubt about it. And in that shad spawn, you were throwing a white chatterbait, a jackhammer chatterbait, with the new trailer that's going to be coming out at iCast, and that's going to be exciting to see that. But just talk about that a little bit, the way you like to rig your chatterbait, and you know, and how effective that was for you.
Yeah, like normally on a bladed jig like that, I like to fish like a straight tail trailer. And this new freeloader that's coming out at iCast is one of those trailers. It's also, you know, be a good spinnerbait trailer for like this moping deal that's fairly new to the south and a lot of us do up north. It'll also work for that as well. You can put it on a jig and hang it over the top of them. But it's just a straight tail. I'd say it's, I'd call it 4-inch minnow. And actually, on day three, I snagged several shad, and I held them up in front of my Marshall, and I'm like, check that out. Like, that's when you know you're throwing the right thing. Like, that bladed jig setup looked exactly like the shad that were up there spawning.
Yeah, yeah. And I like what you're talking about in terms of your work with your Lake Master, with your hummingbird units. You're able to kind of narrow down the spots where you want to start, because you're breaking down a massive body of water, a body of water you've never seen before that doesn't look like anything up north. These reservoirs down south, Tennessee River reservoirs, obviously you can research, you know, previous tournaments and things like that, you know, that have been in the area. But, you know, the mapping allows you to really kind of make a big lake small, right?
It makes it so easy with the contour highlights and depth highlighting. You know, if you get on something and you have a depth range where you're catching them, I can highlight that range on my map, and I can literally run down the lake and start calling shots and pulling up on spots and, like, knowing that I'm going to get a bite, because I just duplicated that pattern across the whole lake in that depth column. So it makes it really easy to, when you go somewhere you've never been before, you know, it takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. Their mapping is some of the best mapping out there. And everywhere I go, I rely on it. And it's, I feel that that's a definite advantage for me.
So this year, I mean, it started out tough for you at Eufaula. You've worked your way up to 28th place, I think, in the EQ points. But, man, you know, a rough start. But then you turned right around and go to Toledo Bend, finished 25th there. Not bad at Bugs Island at the 68. You can survive that. And now this first-place finish. So, you know, it feels like you're getting on a little bit of a roll, and you've got some northern bodies of water coming up down the road. You still have an opportunity to continue to work yourself up the list.
Yeah, I'm jacked that it's finally going the right way, because, man, after last year, and as anybody knows that fishes tournaments, you know, there's a lot of highs and lows, and last year was absolutely terrible. I think I only cashed one check the whole season last year, and I was pretty bummed out at the end of the year. And you know, this year, fresh start, and then I go to Eufaula, and I bomb that one. I took 130-something, and
120 now. Don't beat yourself up too bad. 120, not 130 something. You were 120, you know, at Eufaula. But again, a southern body. I would imagine. I mean, you're a guide from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. I mean, had you seen Eufaula? Have you seen Toledo Bend? You know, I mean, I don't know that, you know, all of these bodies of water you're going to are new to you.
They're all new. I have never seen any of them until the first day of practice. I don't go in pre-practice or do any of that stuff because I don't want any preconceived notions. And, yeah, so it's all new, like, you're exploring a new lake you've never been on and trying to figure it out in 4.5 days. And actually, Wheeler, I figured that out in 2.5 because I had a smallmouth tournament up here that I did not want to miss. Because during the Bassmaster Open, I was going to miss the Sturgeon Bay Open, which is our biggest tournament that we have here. So I fished one the weekend before, and I think that kind of helped me too mentally, like, we did all right in that one. We ended up in seventh. So I went down there with a good attitude, had my head on straight. And I think that definitely helped. It's, you know, it's a mental game, so that helped.
Yeah.
Focus. You know, I got to go home and have some fun, catch a bunch of big smallmouths, and then went to the next event.
Adam Rasmussen with us here coming off his win at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Wheeler, which also qualifies him for the Bassmaster Classic, of course, coming up at Grand Lake next March, and we'll get to that in a moment. You also dragged around a three-quarter ounce VMC swinging rugby jig, which I did the same thing. It's one of my favorite lures. Just talk about where you wanted to use that and how you use that. And again, another prototype plastic that is coming out at ICAST that is really kind of cool looking. People can see it at Bassmaster.com. But talk about where you were throwing that thing and as a cleanup bait.
So once the shad spawn was done, that only lasts for a little bit in the morning. I would, run out on main river ledges, and that swinging rugby head with the cleanup craw was kind of I just felt comfortable. I've used that a lot on the Mississippi River up here. It's a great bait. Like you crank it. You don't do anything with your rod. It's all in the reel. And I just crank it and roll it across that hard bottom. And it's kind of a confidence thing. I actually never used it during practice. I tied it on the morning of the tournament. And sure enough, caught, several key fish on that. I caught a 6-3 on day one on that bait.
Wow.
So I'd use that out on the ledges, on the hard spots. And then, if I couldn't get them to go on that, then I'd go to a drop shot.
Yeah, you did use drop shot some as well, which, and you say that, a northern guy, you say, and I go to the drop shot. Sounds like sometimes some northern guys don't even like throwing a drop shot, but it sure is effective.
Yeah, if I can put a spinning pole in my hand, I'm extremely comfortable.
Ah, you get excited with that, that's for sure. Adam Rasmussen, our guest here, talking about his win at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Wheeler. And the fact is that he has now locked himself into the Bassmaster Classic, which is something as well. It was just under 55 pounds. And, oh, by the way, he beat Brandon Polinick, the reigning Elite Series Angler of the Year, who was just coming off a second place finish as well. So, you can always say that, it came down to me and Brandon Polinick, and I took him down, which is great stuff. We'll come back with more with Adam Rasmussen coming off his victory in the Rapala Winners Circle. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, as we finish up with Adam Rasmussen, who got the victory at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Wheeler, and we are now in the Rapala Winners Circle. And, I mentioned at the end of that last segment, Adam, that you took down Brandon Polinick. I mean, you don't look behind. You don't really think about who it is. But, I mean, you got your first win in an open, and you knocked off the reigning elite AOI. I mean, it must give you a lot of confidence that you can hang with these guys.
Yeah. you know, I've never wanted to say, like, ah, I beat this guy or whatever. You know, there's a lot of really good anglers in the opens, and this is honestly one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life. And to come out on top on one is amazing. But, yeah, when you have – I weighed in right in front of Polinick, and you look at Polinick coming across the stage, like, that man will make you shake a little bit, make you a little nervous, and, yeah, just squeak by him, and it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it is amazing. It's great to get the victory, and with the victory, of course, comes your spot. Regardless of what happens the rest of the year, you have now locked up your spot in the Bassmaster Classic at Grand Lake coming up next March. And I had read that you have never even been to a classic, have you? You've never gone. You don't know what it's like, the atmosphere. I mean, it's one thing to watch the highlights or watch it on TV, but to be there is a total different deal. And so you're going to your first classic and the one you're fishing in. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never been forced to go and work a classic yet, so I kind of just lay back in the weeds, and I'm like, I'm not going until I make it and I get to fish it. And that finally happened. I'm super pumped. Like, when they announced Grand Lake, I've been on Grand one time for an open, and I'm excited. Mm-hmm. In March, I think I'll kind of fit to that lake a little bit, and I'm curious to see what happens there.
Yeah, that is great stuff for sure. And and of course, the rest of the schedule here still, as I said, the opportunity. You're obviously fishing in EQ, so the dream is to be in the elites. But man, you went right back home after the tournament. You got guide trips you got to take care of. You're still doing that. I mean, that's your deal. A lot of the guys that fish, you know, still do guide. Even some of the guys on the elites still do that. So that's kind of like you get the big trophy, you get the big check, and you turn around and you go back home and do some more guiding.
Yeah, absolutely. Still got to work. Still got bills to pay. I love guiding. I love people I love seeing people catch fish.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm on the water every day, so I'm constantly fishing. And I think that's a big key too. Like, if you just quit fishing for 2 weeks and then you go to the next tournament, like, you kind of fall out of a rhythm. So
yeah.
No, I'm super pumped. I'm just hanging out in the parking lot here, and I got some customers showing up in a while, and we're going to go out and crack some smallmouths.
And you'd be doing it with those 13 fishing reels. We're also sponsored by 13 Fishing. In fact, I'm fishing the new Inception G2 product that came out with the metal rods that came out with Gerald Swindle after 2 years of development there. But what a great company 13 Fishing is, and what a great reel they make. I mean, I know you fish the Concept Z2 some and some of their other products, but man, just a reel that is sturdy, affordable, and it really holds up under these conditions.
Yeah, they make a lot of really nice stuff, from reasonably priced rod and reel setups, mm-hmm. you know, in that $100 range for a rod, $100 range for a reel, you know, on up to the Envy series and Concepts and Arios, and, you know, they have some high-end stuff as well, but, you know, I have it all in my boat, and they all catch fish, and they make a great product.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And that 7.4 Envy medium, heavy, moderate, like, that is one badass jackhammer rod. Like, I catch a lot of fish on that thing. So if you're looking for a rod to throw a bladed jig on, or, you know, bigger swim baits, mag drafts, you know, anything like that, that rod is incredible for that.
So you like that? So you don't use a cranking rod for your bladed jigs?
No, that rod has a real soft action to it, though. It's a moderate, so it doesn't have a real fast tip.
Right.
And yeah, I definitely think that helps those fish get that bait in their mouth before you're loading up on them.
Yeah.
You know, where I used to use a crankbait rod, and I switched over to this one, and I like it a lot better.
Yeah. Adam Rasmussen with us here. All right, so going forward, Lake Eufaula, not that Lake Eufaula, but the other Lake Eufaula in Oklahoma, coming up June 15th through the 17th, and then up to the St. Lawrence River, Watts Bar in September. It's going to be interesting at best. Lake of the Ozarks and the Harris Chain. How do you like your chances? You're about at the halfway point right now. What are your thoughts on the rest of this schedule?
I'm excited. I know nothing about Eufaula, Oklahoma. I'm looking forward to going there and trying to figure something out. Ozarks, you know, I've fished in that region a little bit. Pretty jacked up for that one. Watts Bar, that's going to be primarily smallmouths, I think. And St. Lawrence, I'm going to feel right at home there. And the only one that scares me is the Harris Chain because I am not a Florida fan.
Really? Okay. All right.
Now, I've been to Florida twice in the springtime for events, and I don't know. Hopefully it's different in the fall, but in the springtime, it sure does seem like it's a huge luck factor to catch those, you know, catch an 8 or 9 pounder mixed in your bag of pound and a half fish to do well.
Right. Well, congratulations on the victory. It was exciting to see it come through and get it done there, and we wish you the best of luck the rest of the season. Adam Rasmussen has been our guest, the winner from the St. Croix Bassmaster Open on Lake Wheeler. Congratulations again, and thanks, Adam.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, before we put the Bassmaster Radio Phoenix back on the trailer, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. The upcoming Elite visit to the Sabine River will have a new sponsor. The Folds of Honor Bassmaster Elite at the Sabine River will be held June 1st through the 4th in Orange, Texas. Now, since 2007, Folds of Honor has provided more than 44,000 life-changing scholarships, totaling nearly $200 million to the spouses and children of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. The scholarship recipients are as diverse as the place they call home. Minority recipients represent 41% of all the scholarships awarded. The 2023 Bass Pro Shops Bassmaster Team Championship will be held on the Harris Chain of Lakes in Leesburg, Florida, December 6th through the 9th, filling the last spot for the 2024 Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic presented by Toyota. The Harris Chain last hosted the event in 2020. Quote, "We're happy to welcome back the Bassmaster Team Championship to Lake County," said Ryan Ritchie, director of Discover Lake County. "The Harris Chain of Lakes continues to provide a thriving environment for fish and an exciting area for anglers to compete," he said. "We couldn't be more excited to keep showing Bassmaster all there is to offer in Lake County." Of course, the St. Croix Bassmaster Opens will be there as well in October. If you are looking for the best in sublimated fishing jerseys, the best in the business is Valley Fashions. They have all the major logos, and they'll set up your artwork for you, and they'll get your jerseys turned around quickly. Valley Fashions has incredible stock designs, or they'll work with you on a custom design. Valley Fashions has done our jerseys at Bassmaster Radio for the last several years, and I couldn't be happier. Visit VFOutdoors.com to get your order started today. Whether it's long sleeve or short sleeve, hoodies, and more, it's VFOutdoors.com. And it's not too late to get into Rapala Fantasy Fishing, and we have a group for you to join now, the Beat the Bassmaster Radio Group. And here's how it works. You go to Bassmaster.com, and you click on Fantasy Fishing. You create your account and log in, then select Join a Group from the Group's pull-down tab. Now, each week, the high point earner in our group wins a prize package from the show's sponsors and gets a shout-out on the show. Plus, everyone that finishes higher than me gets entered in a drawing for a prize package. So enter today and try to beat Bassmaster Radio. All right, final thought. I just want to once again say what a pleasure it was for me to be able to spend a day on the water with Clay Dyer. We documented that today on the show, and it was absolutely special. He is a special human being, one of the best human beings on the planet, and I am glad that I made the decision to get out on the water with Clay Dyer and take advantage of that. It was something that I certainly will never, ever forget.
Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the Nation button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.